so grateful, Lord God, this evening, Father, for your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth. And Lord, we thank you, Father, this night for Jesus Christ, Father, for the breath that's in our lungs, Lord God, and just the chance to come together in your name, Lord. And Lord, right now, Father, in Jesus' name, we leave every care and every concern on the side, Father God. We hold nothing in our hearts, Lord, except, Lord, the desire for your truth and for your word, Lord, and for the breath, Lord, that comes from you, Father, that just releases all things, Lord. When you speak, Lord God, bondages are set free, Father. People are set free from whatever holds them, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you that you came to set the captives free. And this evening, Lord God, even as we would spend some time, Lord God, together in your word, seeking your truth, Father, we ask and pray that you would lead and guide us into all truth by your Spirit. Father, we leave every care and concern at your feet, Lord, knowing that you are aware, Lord God, of the situations and the circumstances of life. But Lord, more than those, Father, we just want to walk with you. And so, Lord, we seek that. We ask for that, Father. We ask that you lead and direct your people, Father. And Lord, I get out of the way this evening, Father, completely, and I invite, Lord, the full flow of your Spirit in and through. Lord, I acknowledge openly, Lord, that there's nothing good in me except for your Spirit. And to that Spirit, Lord, I yield completely and totally, Father. So, Lord, we do bind every demonic force, Lord, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we just proclaim the freedom, Lord God, that comes in Christ Jesus over our lives, Lord God. And we go on in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, eventful days for sure. We've kind of been living through plenty of things. Okay, so tonight we're going to wrap up and just kind of close out this series, and we'll probably try to do it relatively quickly and more interactive for sure, if you no problem. But we've been doing a series now on, loose title of it was Prison Planet. And this is the fourth one in this series. Now, before when we began this one, see, part of what's necessary and for us to understand is when you're born here, you're born into this life, all of a sudden you're here. And you're like, okay, what's going on? And life has a way of happening to a lot of people that by the time that most people begin to get some realization of, you know, of life and God and all of that, they've been pretty well damaged. They've been pretty well beat up. They've been pretty well chewed up by this world and this world system. And sometimes they have tons of obligations and debts, and they're in a bad marriage. And, you know, it's just like all of a sudden all these things. And they're like, what was all that about? Now, some things that is helpful and useful if we know starting in on this thing. And as soon as we know certain things, you see, if you're a follower of truth, you want truth. I mean, it's just like, it's, I mean, for the people that I know that are followers of truth, it's like they want raw truth. It's like, just give it to me straight, give it to me raw, let me grasp it and deal with it. And, you know, it's like, I just, you know, whatever it costs, whatever it takes. I've noticed that about people of God, that they really are lovers of truth. And they're seeking exactly. And they're seeking the truth. So, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. So he is truth. So when people are seeking ultimate truth, they're seeking him. Once people seek a convenient truth, they're seeking the world. They're looking for, if it's true today or if it's not true, they'll use whatever they can to get their outcome. But that's the way of the world. So it's like, so people will tell the truth in the world if it serves their interest. If it doesn't serve their interest, they'll tell a lie. They'll tell whatever it is, because, and so that's why even when they tell the truth, they speak with, you know that forked tongue? You know that split tongue of the serpent? It's like one side true, one side a lie. It's this split that's there. It's like, you know, whichever is convenient to get the ends that they seek. So it's like truth and a lie will come out of the same tongue.
Because what they preach, their lives don't manifest it.
Yeah, and but there's a spirit of truth too that's in the people of God. So see, sometimes too, what happens is you can get somebody that has a religious accreditation that, you know, may look holy, may look the part, may look all of the things that the world says, but they really are a minister of the devil, and then you can get somebody who's a hooker that but is like Rahab the prostitute, has a heart of gold, and she is someone that, given the opportunity and one nudge by the Spirit, is all about the people of God and all about what God's doing and recognizes what God's doing. So man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. But the thing is too, is also there's a lot of people that are, you know, there are people that also look like ministers of God, and they are ministers of God, and there are also people that are, you know, in the brothels that want to be there because their hearts are there as well. So it's not to say it's to say that we allow the Spirit of God to lead and to guide us, but you can't go by the way things look on the external. So but the nature of the world that we're born into, to understand that, as okay, Isaiah 61, if you got your Bibles. Okay, alright, here. Alright, Isaiah 61. And speaking, now here's the thing. When certain scriptures were put out there, knowing that Jesus was going to come, I mean, there's over 300 prophecies about Jesus, you know, setting the stage for when he would show up in the earth, so there would be no confusion to the people that he was in fact who he said he was after everything is said and done. Okay, so Isaiah 61, case in point. This is what Jesus again reads in the book of Luke when he goes to the temple. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, and plant the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old ways, they shall rise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion, and shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offerings. And I will direct their work in truth, and will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and that they are the seed with the Lord, which the Lord hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation, and hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth from all the nations. Okay, so a lot here, and a lot of this actually overlays throughout Scripture. For example, like, you know, verse 11, where it talks about, for the earth bringeth forth her, for as the earth bringeth forth her buds, and as the garden causeth things that are sown in it to spring forth. So again, you know, look at the analogies that are used even in Isaiah, and then Jesus speaking in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If any man remaineth in me, you know, he will bear much fruit. So even there, it's like, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier today about how, you know, you can't force the work of God. The thing that you can do is be in connection with the Spirit of God and allow His Spirit to flow through you. And He does the work in you. He's the one that grows you. He's the one that builds you up. And He does it in His time. So to remain in Him, let His words remain in you, and then you remain in a place where it's like, okay, now He can do that work in you, and He will do that work in you. And when we choose to go outside of that, we choose to put ourselves in a place where we stop growing because we're not in position with the Spirit of God. So it's sad when people waste that time away from Him, because it's a time when you could be growing and being strengthened and coming into the fullness of what God has for you. But notice just the analogies that God uses continually. So the scriptures is consistent throughout. See, the world will give you the microwave version of the kingdom, whereas God, slow cooking, is very slow, takes His time, builds up His people, raises them up. I mean, even Jesus, God took plenty of time to allow Him to be trained, disciplined, built up in strength, know the Word. Spirit of the Lord comes upon Him at 30 to carry out the mission and the assignment, 3.5 year ministry, and then ultimately leading and pointing towards the cross. So so Jesus, now Isaiah 61, speaking the same verse that Jesus read. See, when He went into the synagogue at the time, the way that the scrolls were set up too is like they would if you ever seen like the Old Testament scrolls, they were like they're like tubes. And so like as you unroll from one side, you roll up on the other. So it's like you pull it out like this. And so as you read it, you'd have to roll it. So if you wanted to get back to, so it's not like the Bible you have today where you just, oh yeah, let's go Isaiah 61. No, if you have the book of Isaiah, you're rolling. So the time when like people were getting to the point of like reading, it was at a certain place in that text. They're like, okay, this is what they're reading as they're going through the scriptures at that time. Now, I don't know a ton about it, but this much I know is like the timing of God even set up for when it came to where Jesus goes into the synagogue that day, and He's the one that's going to be doing the reading, and this is the place where the scripture has come to when He's there to do this reading. So He's there to do this reading, comes to the synagogue at that time, sits down, happens to be the place in Isaiah, which we label as Isaiah 61, but it's just the book of Isaiah. You know, the numbering system came along later for ease of finding things, but He was just in the book of Isaiah. And in the book of Isaiah, when He gets to this part, this is the part now, the fulfillment of this prophecy is coming forth at that moment in time in there. And Jesus then reads this and He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath set me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Okay, and He actually stops there, but it goes on. But Jesus says, right now, this scripture is, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now, okay, to proclaim, to open the opening of the prison to them that are bound. The verdict was, up until that point, that all were born into the prison of this world. And even those that had come before and lived in righteousness were waiting for Christ to come. If he didn't fulfill what was necessary at the cross to pay the debt for sin, they themselves would have dropped into a godless hell for all eternity, because there would have been no redemption for them. So they were in a waiting place as well. They were looking forward to what was going to come. But we were all born into this prison. And it's a prison for souls. It's a prison that has been set up. And so now what happened with Christ Jesus was the door now to the prison is wide open. So there is no more, for as soon as, like, okay, I am, like, so Jesus is the gate to go through. So it's like, you know, let's look at this one. Matthew 7, I think. In Matthew 7 verse 13 says, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Okay, so Jesus is that gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So Jesus is, so when you go in, through Jesus, when you come into Christ, now you're so like that's the prison door is open in Christ Jesus. So the door is open because of Him. So again, the veil is rent. There's no more separation between man and God. We have the way out. So now, back to Isaiah 61, that so Jesus comes, opening the prison to them that are bound. So in Christ Jesus now, the way is made for all of us to walk out of the prison. So now, imagine, we talked about this a little bit last time, but if you run a prison, and all of a sudden you have all of these prisoners that are in there, and all of a sudden you realize, okay, shoot, the front gate is wide open, and we only have like two prison guards, and they have no bullets in their guns, you know, okay, how are you going to keep the people that are in that prison, inside that prison? What do? Okay, you have one option, which is to go after their minds. You have one option, which is to do everything that you can to keep people from knowing about and seeing that door. So if there's one door, that's the way out of the prison. So what do you have to do? So you tell them, oh, it's this door over here, this door over here, this door over here. But there's really one door that's open. So you get people running to all these other doors. You deceive them. You get them running to all these other doors. You get set up other people to stand in these other places. Say, come to this door. Come to this door. Waste their time. Maybe if you can just keep them occupied enough in the prison, they'll die running around trying to find a way out. You condition their minds. You blast something over the loudspeakers. You can still do that. You put on television programs and get, maybe they all sit down and watch. You know, you'll give them a good meal. You'll do, and you see what I'm saying? So all of these things are there to keep you wrapped up inside the prison. So that's why people don't realize, but the economic crisis taking place right now in the world is a blessing if you can see it through the eyes of God, because it's like all of a sudden inside the prison, now there's no more food. Okay, now people really start to look for where is, yeah, and they'll start to say, wait a second, this is not working. Is there another way? Oh, look, the door's wide open over there. They're like, no, don't look at this door. You see, that's why also they're working so hard to fix their system. Because if the system melts down completely, how many people will they lose to the truth and to the kingdom? Because people will say, look, this is not working. See, you can go on a mossy path all the way to hell, leave this life having committed yourself completely to the wrong thing, and then only wake up in a godless eternity and say, oh, shoot. So it's a blessing when your life is turned upside down, because when your life is completely turned upside down, you ask the questions. And think about it too. How many of God's people had to go to the pig pen of life? You know, like the whole prodigal son story? You know, where it's like, okay, they had to go to the pig pen of life, kiss a few pigs, wake up in the middle of this pig pen, you know, with like, wait a second, all right, I just would like to eat some of the scraps left over by the pigs. I'm so hungry in this place for something real, something that fills me. And then realizing, well, at least back in my father's house, the servants have extra food. You know, it's like me realizing that there's got to be something better than this. And the realization for so many of God's people, they had to hit rock bottom like that. And it wasn't until that happened, had they still had their fortunes, they would still be in the same line, never having come to themselves. So it's okay when people, one of my prayers for people when I know somebody is a child of God's, but they're going the wrong way, is one of my prayers, like, Lord, just please minimize the damage that they do to themselves and while they're going this way. You know, and please wake them up. Please let them see quickly. But please just minimize the consequences to them, because there is, bless you, there is universal laws and effect that are there. Like, you know, gravity is in place. You play with that law, you will, you know, it's like, it's there. You know, sow and reap is there. So, you know, now God's mercy is not guaranteed, in that what you got away with yesterday, you may not get away with today. And there are consequences for your actions. There's consequences for your choices and your decisions. So one of my hopes and one of my prayers when I see people going on the path that leads to destruction is, Lord, please minimize the damage that they do to themselves, so that you know, so that when they wake up, because they are one of His, and I know that they're going to come to themselves at some point, my hope and my prayer is that they're not six figures in debt, that they don't have a kid, that they don't have some STD, that they don't have some major addiction, that they don't have, they didn't lose their family over. And you know, it's like my prayer, my hope for them is that they would minimize the damage and the destruction that they do to themselves. But, you know, ultimately it's like, if that's what it's going to end up being, so much better that the soul gets right with God and is saved and brought to Him, than for every, because again, back to what did Jesus say in Mark 8, you know, what is it profit a man to gain the whole world yet lose his soul? So it's like, what do you get if you get it all in the world? You get every trimming, everything the world has to offer, you you make all the money, you have every global success, and at the end of the day you lose what really has value, and you lose what really has eternal lasting significance. So then the prison of the world does that for people. The prison of the world gives you that. You get everything in the world right now. You get every success in the world right now. And instant gratification, all of those things are there in exchange for your soul. And the thing is also the world, it's a zero-sum game. So it's like they only have so much to go around. So it comes to the point where it's like, okay, you don't get the offer Jesus got of you know, all the kingdoms of the world. You get the offer Esau got. It's like, okay, for your birthright, we'll give you a bowl of lentil soup. You look kind of hungry. You know, I mean, seriously, that's what people are getting offered today, is scraps and leftovers and little pieces of just something in exchange for their soul. And people are taking those in the droves. And that bowl of soup dries up. After you're done with it, you've eaten it, and you're still hungry, but now you're a slave to the world. So God is pulling His people out. He's pulling them out of false religions, false churches. He's pulling them out of false economic systems. He's teaching them His economy. See, Matthew 6 is true. If He talked very specifically to anyone that would follow Him, and He said, look, if you're going to follow, you need to understand this one. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness. And yeah, let's look at that one. Keep your finger in Isaiah 61. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. I mean, some things we have to go back through, because people have forgotten some of the basics. But before, okay, actually, you know, let's start at verse 24, because talking about the global economic collapse as well. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So all these people that were serving mammon hate God. Okay. Therefore I say unto you, now Jesus is saying, okay, the reason, again, people like get in the whole thing of slaving for cash and all that, they're thinking about provision, they're worried about it, their minds are consumed with it, where the treasure is, their heart is also, etc., etc. So now Jesus is saying, alright, you know, yes, I know you have natural needs, let me show you how to live in this life. Let me show you, now you're in a natural body, you're existing in this dimension, let me show you how to live in relationship to that. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So right there, point blank, Jesus is like, look, everybody in the world system is built on the love of money. So let me show you, since you're in the world, but you're not of the world, John 17, when Jesus is praying for his disciples, you and I, we follow in that line. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. We're sent here on assignment by God. We're here for a season, for a time, for a purpose. Okay, now that you're here and you're around this whole thing, let me show you now how to live. Seek first the kingdom. Keep your eyes and your heart in check and in line with your maker and your creator. Keep moving in that path. Keep going with Christ in the line. In him you live and move and have your being. Keep walking in that way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And as it pertains to the needs that you have, God says he'll take care of it.
And the thing is, some people really try hard. I mean, try beyond. Sometimes they do things which they're not even asked to do by God.
Yeah.
You know? And they completely miss the point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I mean, they get involved in church or they get involved in ministry. Mm-hmm. As in, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And they completely, and it's, they're overloaded with work, and they think, okay, this is, I'm doing God's work, and well, I must be doing his will. But actually, it's not that.
And that's actually a misinterpretation and a misteaching.
Yes.
See, even here, for example, how much during like the 90s, you heard this, but seek, verse 33, I heard this so many times in the 90s, where there's this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that one was taught during the 90s of, okay, seek first God, and you'll get everything that you want.
And seek first God is... It's like the thing that you have to do church work.
Yeah, no, and that's a lie. And again, when people talk about this is, again, like if you're going to keep people in the prison, you tell them this door, this door, this door, this door, and you get them looking to all these other doors that don't work, aren't right, aren't true, and then you get them, because again, back to control for your mind, get them to go in false directions, false places. Get, if it's the front door where the prison is open, get them all running to the back door and get them all bunched up over there and keep them in there and get them paying tithes every Sunday. You know, it's like, I mean, get them locked into something and then you keep them there. And then they're all like, well, why can't I get out? Because there's no door there. So Jesus, so even here, what he says is, look, seek first the kingdom. Okay, well, what... Where's the kingdom? Remember one thing that Jesus said was in John in Luke 17. Let's go there. All right. So seek first the kingdom. All right. Well, where's the kingdom? Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 20 says, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said. Answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall ye say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So seek first the kingdom. So this is not something external. So all of these, again, church programs and all this stuff is all based on outward appearance, works of the flesh, all of this stuff. And Jesus said, look, seek first the kingdom. Even when he's talking to the Pharisees, he said, look, you guys, you know, first wash the inside of the cup. You know, first deal with what's inside. He said, you guys are like whitewashed sepulchers. You know, on the outside you look good, but inside you're full of greed and deception. You're full of dead men's bones. It's like, so even here, it's like, look, allow the Spirit of God to work in you. Seek first the kingdom. Go within. Allow God to take you to the depths and the dimension of spirit within, and turn over every area of your life to Him. Seek first the kingdom, alignment with the Spirit of God, and allow that to be the pursuit. Out of that pursuit and out of that seeking Him, it's like He takes care of these other things. That's something that He takes care of. And see, here's where also it's like now in relation to, for example, to work. People, a lot of people work in the world, but they do it out of their flesh and out of their carnality and not under the direction of God. So God may say, look, you know, I want you to be a janitor. And I want you to spend the time that you're cleaning these hallways of this school building.
It can be a pleasant experience.
Worshiping God and praising God. And I want you to do this for the next 3 years, because while you're doing this whole thing, I'm going to be teaching you. I'm going to be teaching you the Word. I'm going to be teaching you the truth. So that when you're done with this whole thing, you know, Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. Before, I think he was a plumber. He was a plumber. And and it's just,
it's not a shame to be
honest. No, it's nothing like that. In fact, I have family there.
The world will keep saying you're life because you're a plumber.
That's because the rest of the world feeds
looks
their
down.
Ego.
Yeah.
Looks down upon it. They think it's much superior to do something else.
Because again, what does the world look? Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. See, when we do the work that the Spirit of God equips us to do, you'll find a fulfillment in that. You'll find a joy in that. You'll find a peace in being able to exercise the giftings that you have. But see, also God is creative. So that one thing is like, you may be doing something right now, but then He'll take that natural ability and expand it in the dimension of spirit. So for example, David and Moses were shepherds. And God took their shepherding, their heart and their skill and the shepherding of sheep, and then turned them into shepherds for the nation of Israel. God took Peter and He said, look, follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. So God takes this natural abilities that we have, empowers them by the Spirit of God when they're turned over to Him, and then relaunches those again. So even like a classic example is Moses' staff. He's just a stick that he was using to, you know, like just move these sheep around. And then God asks him, what is that in your hand? And God says, and he says, throw it down. He throws it down. And then, and it turns into a snake. And then God says, okay, now pick the thing up. He picks it up. And after that point, whenever you see this mentioned in scriptures, it's called the rod of God. So, or the staff of God. So before that, it was just the last representation of the last thing that was his natural ability, which is, okay, everything else sucks. My life is just about done. I'm 80 years old. I'm on the backside of this desert with a few sheep. At least I can do that. And God says, toss this thing down. He throws down that representation of the last piece of natural ability that he had, because everything else had failed and fallen apart on him. Then this thing is changed. His life is changed, turned around. His natural ability is empowered by the Spirit of God. And he goes back, and with this very same stick, now with God, it's look at all the miracles that happen from that point on with that. So it's just a natural representation again of the spiritual reality. Don't get hooked on the stick. A lot of people running around looking for the stick. Where's the stick? Where's the stick? You missed the point. God's giving a representation for his people so they can understand the spiritual principle behind it, which is we give our abilities over to the Spirit of God and we allow him, he does what he wants to with those, just like the bread and the fishes. The
and even in the Bible it says, God will use the foolish to stun the wise, as in
amen.
In world terms.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
happening right now.
Yeah.
That's happening on a global scale. Is God, the people that have answers right now to the world's problems are the people of God. They're the only ones. They're the only ones. So, I mean, even like last night, you know, when we went to that thing where you were singing, like I'm talking to these different people from these, and these business guys are all trying to figure out, what do we do? And just like that, God just like doom, 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 doom. And they're just giving, because the ideas flow from him. He gives us the ability and the power to create. We serve a creative God. So when you're in connection to the vine, you have that creative power flowing through you. You have the power of God flowing through you. God takes, if you got a huge crowd of 5,000 plus, he can just take a few fish and a few pieces of bread
and
multiply that.
And he would choose insignificant people to stand.
And he uses a little boy
yeah.
and a little boy's lunch. Now, oh, there's a key to that as far as provision as well. When you look through the scriptures, one thing that you see is so many times what God starts with is he says, what do you have? Moses, what do you have in your hand? I got a staff. What do we have here? Oh, we got little boy's lunch. What do we have? The Shunammite woman. All these things. God, people, the world focuses on what it doesn't have. God says, what is it that you have? Whatever it is that you have, turn it over to me and watch what I do with it. And so God does the miracle. He does it out of whatever it is that you have and are given over, completely over to him. That's when he works something out. So when people are focused on what they don't have, to them, to those that have, much more will be given. To those that have not, even the little that they think they have will be taken away. And that's what's happening right now in the world too. Now is a time where everybody's drying up and they're all getting reserved. And they're all like, I mean, people are scrounging for cash and all this stuff. But because, again, they don't have what they thought they had is now being taken away. Whereas the people of God, they have, and God is going to abundantly bless his people in this time. You'll see this. The people of God are the ones with the solutions. The people of God are the ones with the ideas. The people of God are the ones with the ability to create. The smartest thing that anyone in the world can do is what Pharaoh did with Joseph, which was, oh wow, this guy's got a connection to the Spirit of God. He knows. Look, all right, I'll keep my position, but you're in charge. It's like, you know, because in the end, his land was saved, and it's the smartest thing that any one of these world leaders can do. Now they won't do this because they're slaves to the devil, but the smartest thing that maybe a few of them might, and those will be the nations that you actually see that will survive, for, you know, they'll go on for a longer period of time, but the ones that are smart will search out for the people of God, not to slay them, but to actually, for the sake of their survival, will say, what is it that the Lord is saying, and allow them to exercise and use those gifts on behalf of the preservation of life. So, you know, right now it's a time like that. And so, you see, right now, even what's taking place in the world, we're seeing the initial stages of it, but it's going to get much, much, much worse. So, it's...
I don't think we should get involved
in it. No. See, that's the thing. For the people of God, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I don't give like the world gives. So Jesus is saying this is the same time that they're trying to hunt him down to kill him. So when Jesus talks about peace, he talks about, literally, I studied this one out one time, it means internal serenity amidst external turmoil. So the peace that God gives is you can have a stillness, your soul can be like a sea of glass in the middle of a raging storm going on outside of you. Again, the kingdom is within. See, when the world talks about peace, again, where are they focused? Everything is outside. Everything's external. Peace for the world is when people stop shooting bullets. Peace for the kingdom of people in the kingdom of God is when there is a resolution in your soul that you are, as John 17 puts it, that you become one in Christ Jesus. You are one with Him. He is one with you. You're fused together with the Spirit of God. There is no separation between you and Him. That's when you come to a place of peace. So now, what does the prison of the world do? The prison of the world seeks to keep you from going within. So it seeks to keep you locked in and distracted and wrapped up with all of these things. Religious service. Let me get you locked into religious service. Hey, Natasha, you got a great voice, so you should come and lead worship.
I've been actually, so many people have asked.
Oh, of course. But yeah, exactly. Because you know why? Because see, right there, what it is, oh, okay, 1 plus 1, you know, let's use this to, again, build their man-made system, man-made structure, take your natural ability, use it for themselves, because they're trying to build their little empires here, and use Jesus' name, because they really want to be rock stars, and they want you to help them to become that. No. No, 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 no. The Spirit of God, if you would ever lead worship in a setting like that, it would be because God puts it in your heart. That which is led by the Spirit is that which we do. So it's just, who are the true sons and daughters of God? Jesus said, John 10, those that, my sheep know my voice. They won't follow another. Those that are led by the Spirit are the true sons and daughters of the living God. So we follow the voice of the leading of God. So it's very simple. Somebody will come up to you and say, hey, will you do this for me? And then you say, okay, stop, let me think. Father, what do you think about this? And God's like, yeah, you can help out with this, that's all right. Or, no, I don't think so. Yeah, this is not right. Don't get involved, stay away from this. Okay, cool. And then you just go back to, you know, I just don't...
There are options. I mean, like, for instance, you know, it'll be in a way that, you know, it won't upset either party. I mean, you won't offend them, or it will be a situation where you can diplomatically handle it and they won't get offended.
You can try. I mean, sometimes people will get mad at you just because of the fact of, actually, most times, people will get mad at you just because of the fact that you know Christ and you are His.
Yeah, sure.
The world goes nuts at that fact. But in the end, it's like, look, if I don't have the clearance of the Spirit of God in me to be involved with your thing, to help you, to chip in, to finance, to pray for, there's people that ask, tons of people ask me to pray about all kinds of things. But when I check with God, like sometimes He's like, look, if you want to pray about this, here's how you pray. Or sometimes He's like, look, have no part. Because sometimes there's yeah, and sometimes it's like, sometimes what's going on with somebody is, you see, we can pray in our flesh. And we can miss what God is doing. So the key thing is that what we do is in connection with the Spirit of God. What we do is led by the Spirit of God. Because, okay, back to Isaiah 61, when Jesus said that He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Okay, so He opens up the prison to us that are bound. So He opens that. Now sin is the shackle. We talked about sin being the shackle that it's like, so the prison is the world and the world system. So the world and the world system is the prison. Sin itself is like that, the stocks that you be set in, or the shackles that are on your feet. And the wages of sin is death. So people are locked in there to that. Now with Christ Jesus, what He does is He paid the price for sin. He is the propitiation for our sins. He is the full payment in full for the wages of sin, which is death. He has taken that upon Himself. So now, in Christ Jesus, that debt is paid. There may be some natural consequences we have to deal with You know, so, but whatever the case is, you put your shoulders back and you deal with it. But, so there is consequences for sin in the natural, but in the dimension of spirit, which is the real one, he's covered that and taken care of that. And his mercy, he may help you out with this whole thing. He may get you out of death row. He may, you know, heal you from this other thing. Quite possibly, you know, now we've come into a very strong season where he's going to be moving much, much stronger through his true saints with signs and wonders and power to make clear and to make known that people know this are in fact his. Not the false miracles, but the actual real ones. Not the Hollywood stuff, but the actual, like Peter, where you just, your presence, where you just walk through a room and people are actually healed. That's, you know, where it's just clear. It's clear evidence, not this huge production of, okay, let's get everybody here and, okay, hocus pocus, now you got your headache is gone. No, it's like, where it's like God doing His thing through you because you're right there in connection with Him. But the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So we sin. See, this is why too. It's like, okay, sin is a block. Willful sin, continuous willful sin, is a block to our ability to hear, to our ability to walk with. So we Isaiah 59. And here, let's just flip back at just one page since we're right there. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perverseness." So it goes on a little bit there, but basically, like people's, again, God doesn't leave us, we leave Him. So people, when we engage in willful sin, and we engage in a, again, back to Romans 12, here, let's flip to that one really quick. So keep
expose God's will for you.
It blocks.
It
blocks the free flow of the Spirit of God through you. So Romans 12. Okay. So Romans 12 verse 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Okay, so let's take this, and the world, knowing that this is true, what is it that they would do with the reality of this truth? So the purpose that you would do this for is, one, it's a reasonable service, it's the least you can do, but also so that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So if the world system wants to do everything it can from you going through that door and knowing the will of God and carrying that out and fulfilling that while you're in the earth, what is it that it would do with verse 1 and 2? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Okay, so let me, if I'm the world system, do everything I can to defile, to pervert, to pollute, to mess up your body as much as I possibly can. So it's this screwed up rent-a-motel of a place where, you know, no, the Spirit of God would never want to stay, because it's just, you're inviting every demonic thing in there, you're opening yourself up to all of that. And be not conformed to this world. So if I'm the world system, I would want to conform you to myself. I'd want to conform you one way or shape or form. Either if I can conform you to the rock star thing, or if I can conform you to the religious thing. You know, I was talking to a friend just earlier today about someone else who had gone from one end of just the world to the other end of religious bondage. So the religious system of the world now completely bound to the other side. So it went from one thing of just like extreme in the world to the other end of the spectrum, which is now ultra legalism. You know, so, but still another manifestation, another trap.
And they think they're happy in that.
No, they're not. But it's another form of bondage. So it's again, another door. Keep you in the prison. So, okay, oh, that one didn't work. Okay, world doesn't work. Let me go to this one. Okay, over here, ultra-legalism. Yeah, oh, wait a second, it's locked. So, okay, so if I'm the world system, back to Romans 12, and be not conformed to this world, so they would seek to do everything they can to conform you. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So again, back to the battle for your mind. Don't let the mind be renewed. Flood the mind with everything and anything that you can. Flood it with images. Flood it with commercials. Flood it with conditioning that tells you this is what you need to be. This is how you need to walk. This is how you need to dress. This is how you see what I'm saying. So flood it, impact it, bludgeon it. You know, porno on the net. You know, you got 24/7 porno as much as you want right there. You know, and you can do it in the privacy of your own home. And just, but get that mind so filled that it's, you can't think straight. Get a guy's mind to the point where he can't see a woman and not differentiate between what it was that he saw 35 minutes ago in his house and a real live breathing woman in front of him, that he can't tell the difference between something that's on the screen in pixels and plastic and Photoshop and an actual real live breathing woman that's got thoughts, emotions, feelings and all the other stuff. Get him so distorted that he can't even think straight. Keep him locked in the prison. Okay? And be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So do all of this so that they may not prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, this is why, here's where our free will comes into play as well. This is why, too, when Jesus was teaching people to pray in Matthew chapter 6, here, let's flip there really quick, Matthew chapter 6. When in verse 9, where he says, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So you're connecting up, right? Okay. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So again, the focus is, Lord, your will, you're seeking his will. So now, see, we have to overlay the scriptures together. So Romans 12 says, all right, you're seeking his will. You want to know his will. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's like, so you're asking, you're praying for his will, but then there is some things that we can work with the Spirit of God to do. So that's why, too, like certain areas of sin, for example, certain sin patterns that are there in people's lives. What happens is, if you're seeking the will of God, you start getting a prick by the Spirit of God in the places where you're hurting your relationship and your connection with Him, and you're hurting the heart of God. So all of a sudden now, you realize, wait a second, I'm hurting God's heart here. This hurts my connection and my ability to connect with Him. Again, back to the Isaiah 59. This hurts, I know that I was able to yesterday hear clearly His voice, and today it's a strain. And today and I don't like that. I don't want that, because this is the most valuable relationship that I have. And then you realize too, it's like, wait a second, I'm hurting myself. I'm hurting God. Other people are affected by my choices and my actions. So it's like, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for other people. So then you see what happens. And so then now, as you're praying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is not a rote prayer. This is, you're seeking something, and the Spirit of God that's leading, guiding you into all truth is now also working with your life. And you allow the Spirit of God to open up every aspect of your life. So keep your finger there, but then go to John 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 3. verse 18. He that believeth not on him is condemned. Speaking of Jesus. But he that believeth not... verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Speaking of Jesus. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth the truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the followers of truth come into the light. We allow the floodlight of the Spirit of God to expose every aspect of our life. And we allow him to dig into every part. We're like, God, search me. God, open this up. Show me if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, empower me by your Spirit to turn, to change, to if whatever it is that you say, I'll go with it. And some things across the board for all of us. So for example, flee sexual immorality. Cool. Got it. No problem. You know, this, cause it's like, that's something that's, you know, that's right there, point blank. God, it's throughout scriptures, God shows you that. Other people, there may be some area for you that it's like the Spirit of God speaking to you, but it's not speaking to someone else on this one. So for example, if somebody came out of alcoholism, you know, for that person, maybe the Spirit of God tells them, look, you know, for you, because this is an area of weakness, stay clear. But for someone else, because Jesus, the first miracle he did was made a bunch of wine. So it's like, so then this is again too, where it's like, this is between you and the Father. So let God work with you and show you how, but also you be considerate of each other. If you know that somebody's got a weakness in a particular area, you know, we work with that. We try to be considerate about something like that.
So I guess when you're transparent with God and you really seek God's help in that area and you're open for him to work in you, it'll take a while, but I mean, he will definitely see you overcoming that.
Yeah.
In due time. I've seen that happen.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's like you were talking, we talked about the sunflower thing some time back. But again, like I remember driving through there was this field of sunflowers. It was just beautiful because you could see all of them just doing everything they could to line up with the sun. And again, just another beautiful natural example of a spiritual reality. The degree to which you give yourself over, and this is why too, what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So 100% line up with him. Focus all of your affection, all of your heart on him. And when you do that, you now open yourself up to the maximum inflow of the Spirit of God in you. And so it's to that degree that you would line up your life and your heart with him, is the degree to which now you're just open to it. So it's like you just get like full on Niagara Falls of like the Spirit of God coming through you to just wash out, to cleanse, to work with. And that's why too, I've seen amazing things happen with people in 6 months. You know, and just in just like a very short period of time, if somebody will turn themselves over to the Spirit of God completely, whereas if somebody plays with this thing, you can play with it for a decade and be 5 steps forward from where you were before. So again, and that serves the purpose of the world, because the world's desire is to keep you locked in the prison. Now, back to again, what did Jesus overlay Isaiah 61 with John 10, where Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So he came not just to set us free from prison, but to actually give us a full, abundant life. And to know that full, abundant life, we also need to know the will of God and walk out and fulfill the will of God. So the requirement being there that we would know the will of God and submit to that will and carry it out. So it's like he wants us to have that, but we also have a part to play in that. So I'm thinking of this proverb where I'm going to paraphrase it, but basically it's like God hides a matter and it's the glory of kings to search it out. You know, and I can't remember that one right now, but basically it's like God His will is there, but we, as princes and prince and princesses of the Most High God, are in the process of finding that out and in discovering it. And it's
there's a reason for it to do, because if it's just lay around, then you know, I mean, it's just there.
Mm-hmm.
The value of it is just
no appreciation.
No appreciation.
Yeah.
So when you seek it and find it, then you value it. Mm-hmm. So it's always the case.
So, yeah. So basically, right now is that to understand that the world is what it is, because it's the goal is to harvest the souls of men. You have been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ, and so because of that, you've been set free from the penalty for sin. If you walk in the power of the Spirit of God and ask Him to empower you, He will free you also from the bondage to sin. So you have an empowering that enables you to put to death every work of the flesh, so that you're no longer, you've come clean. You don't need that anymore. You don't need that addiction. You don't need that. And then.
You don't become a danger to yourself.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too. The wages of sin is death. You kill yourself really fast. You know, I mean, that's the world. If you just let your flesh go no holds barred, yeah, if you basically just say, and we have friends like this, and we have enough people, some people like, that's me, that was their friend. Okay, if you let your flesh go no holds barred, anything that you could think in your flesh you would do, how long do you think it would take for you to kill yourself?
About a week.
About a week, yeah. It wouldn't take very long at all. You would. Yeah, if you just went. But basically, the world, it wants to also harvest your labor. It also wants to use you up to get you to help contribute to build the prison walls a little bit higher, to make a few more big screens, to keep everybody locked in, and make a few more television shows so that they're really good, so they don't look for the door. And to build up a higher stock market, so people say, wait, I don't want to go out that door with Christ, because the Dow is up to 13,000. Oops, no, now it's down to 8,000. But it's like, okay, well, it's now at 8, maybe there's something better going on. So it's like, no, they work to keep you locked in. So they want to harvest your labor, but they also want to kill you. So they want to kill you, they want to knock you off, but they also want to harvest your labor in the process. Use up every gift that God put in you, every natural ability and every skill. They want to use that because again, Moses, you know, he had natural ability. He was trained also in all the wisdom of Egypt up to age 40, so he had natural ability. He, if nothing else, he could harvest, and not harvest, but he could take care of some sheep. So even that, they're like, okay, you know, just take care of these prisoners and keep them all locked in here. But God flips the script. So They don't want you to ever come out. So that's why, too, the best thing that a person can do is line their life up with the Spirit of God. Seek first Him. And the thing, and the best way to do it, too, is like, all right, a prayer that my dad was talking to me about one time, he just said, look, you know, monk, just pray, just like, Lord, if I'm missing it, if I'm off in any way, please correct me. Please show me. Please, because I don't want to miss what you're doing. I don't want to be out of step with you. And so just lead me and guide me and teach me what you want me to know. And just open yourself up in honesty to Him, for Him to be able to do that with you and through you. And if you do that, you've done what you can. And then when He shows you something, go with it. So it's like, if this is an area, if this is a sin area, ask Him, Lord, okay, what do I do? How do I come clean of this? You know, what do you have for me to do? But you know what I've noticed too, is many times, if somebody will give themselves over 100% to the Spirit of God, and so you don't hold anything in reserve, so many things just melt off that person's life. I mean, they just kind of just fall away. It's like all of a sudden, it's like, I know I can do that, but I don't want to, because it's like I there's something that I desire more. I've tasted and I've seen that the Lord is good. I want that so much more than I want this other thing. And so, but when somebody's still holding on to something, that's when it's like it's very, very, very hard for people to come clean of stuff, because they're still holding on to something. They still don't trust God in that place, in that area.
People who have experienced God and there's a hunger and a thirst for love.
Yeah.
And more. So it's always the case. And you've been there.
Yeah. So we're in a cool time right now. So I mean, it's basically like right now the. Phone. The world. So Jesus came to open came to set the captives free. He's opened the prison door, and see, that's part of what our assignment here is in the world. See, now that you understand and you know that the world is this prison planet, then what is it that we do? Well, one thing that we do is we tell people, hey, you know, this prison, they got no bullets in the gun, and you know, this the door right is just right over there. You know, Jesus is the door, and the door is just right over there. And if you just walk through that door, you might have to go through a little bit of wilderness, but He will feed you, He'll protect you, He'll keep you. If you just walk through that door over there, everything that you need is in Him, and there's actually freedom out there. And you just have to go this way. Hey, psst, buddy, over here. Let's go this way. This is the way. And so that's what we do. That's what we're here for. That's a big part of what we're here for, is just to make it known that there is a way. There is truth and there is life. And it's not found in religion. It's not found in the conformity to the world. It's not found in anything outside of the reality of who Christ Jesus is and us being made one in Him. So that is the truth that we make known to every prisoner, and to those that have a heart for truth, to those that are called to be sons and daughters of God. That truth resonates in them, their eyes are open, God draws them unto Himself, and they are saved. And those that were your enemy yesterday become your brothers and sisters in Christ today, because just like Paul, they realize, wow, this is it. So that's what we make known to people. And with that, I think we're out of time, so we'll stop there.